Hello and welcome to this podcast about the April 2020 meeting of the International Accounting Standard Board on the Amendment to IFRS 17 project. My name is Roberta Ravelli and I'm a member of technical staff here at the ISB. In this podcast today, I'm joined remotely by Darren Scott, a member of the board. Like the previous month, the board meeting in April was a virtual meeting with board members and staff participating by video conference, given that our London office is closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. At the April meeting, I provided board members with a brief update on the balloting process of the final amendment to IFRS 17, which we plan to issue around the end of June 2020, and with an update on the other activities we have undertaken to support implementation of IFRS 17, including developing educational material and holding meetings of the Transition Resource Group. Darrell, during the meeting, you mentioned that you heard from our stakeholders that the educational material currently available on the IFRS Foundation website has proven to be helpful. What can you tell us about the implication of this material of the forthcoming amendments to IFRS 17?
Yes, thanks, Roberta. So as I mentioned, as we discussed in the meeting, when we originally published IFRS 17, we undertook to support implementation activities. And one of the ways that we did it, as you've just said, was through the development and publication of educational material. Now, I think it's fair to say that material has proven to be very helpful to our stakeholders in explaining and understanding the key aspects of IFRS 17. I know from information that is really probably a little bit outdated that the webcast and videos alone have been viewed more than 150,000 times. And certainly the personal interaction that I've had with stakeholders has underlined just how important this material has been. But of course, that material as it stands on our website right now relates to IFRS 17 as we published it in 2017. So it is, from a contextual point, out of date. But I think it's important to say that the changes, the amendments that we have agreed upon to IFRS 17 actually have a very limited effect on the material. And that material is so useful. So we're not planning to withdraw it. We intend to leave the material on our website because we think it's going to be useful, not just to companies who are coming a little bit late to the implementation process or getting involved a little bit late in the process, but also to individuals and entities that want to do a bit of a refresher or go back and revise or rethink a particular issue. So what we're planning to do instead, I think, is to caveat the material so that we remind people of the context in which that material is available on the website. And then when we publish the revised standard, we'll develop a new webcast that very specifically explains what changes have been introduced by the amendments we've made, and provides context to the original webcasts that were out there. Personally, I think that's incredibly useful. I think it's very, very responsive to what our stakeholders have been telling us about how useful the educational material is. I've certainly specifically heard of some examples, and during the course of the board meeting, I mentioned the examples of mutuals. But for me, another really good example of where the webcasts continue to be useful is thinking about the scope of IFRS 17. We have specifically made some amendments to scope, and in this case, it is particularly for certain loan arrangements and for credit cards and similar products. But those types of products are by no manner of means the central mainstream of insurance products. For the vast majority of insurance products out there, they are going to find that the scope material that is available on our website is still absolutely applicable and absolutely useful. And as long as people remember that those changes have been made to a very narrow area, they're going to continue to find the webcasts useful.
Okay, and the targeted amendments to IFRS 17 will shortly be finalized. So it is time to focus on implementation. Darrell, how do you expect the questions about the application of the requirement in IFRS 17 will be considered in the future?
So Roberta, we're coming up to a milestone. The publication of these amendments is going to be an important milestone in the development of the IFRS 17 standard. But I think it's worth remembering that the standard itself has actually been out there for almost 3 years. It's a couple of days away from its third anniversary. And so I think from our perspective as board members, as the foundation, we expect that implementation processes have gone a considerable distance down the route of actually coming to a completion point. They are now very mature in the process they've gone through. And for many companies, they've made the critical, the important decisions about the process they're going to follow. So I think at this stage, anything that we choose to do, any additional guidance we choose to provide, risks being very disruptive to that process. And I think, therefore, it's very important that anything that we do going forward from this point forward benefits from the strong due processes that we already have in much of the activities that we take from an ISB perspective. And so personally, and I guess this is a bit of a personal view, I expect that we will publish very limited new educational material beyond that that explains the amendments. I think we've run the course of the new educational material that we can introduce. And although we have chosen not to disband the TRG, we have not scheduled any further TRG meetings. It is my personal expectation that most, if not all, of the questions that will be directed to the board going forward from this point would go through our normal processes. And in particular, what I'm thinking of here is the Interpretations Committee. IFRIC has a number of tools at its disposal that include interpretations and agenda decisions. It is an established and very well understood and respected process that's out there. And importantly, it has a due process that has stood the test of time. People understand how that due process works. People have the opportunity to be consulted and to make their views heard as they go through the process. And I think that, importantly, is consistent with the development path that we've seen on other standards, new standards that we've produced over the last several years.
Okay, David, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your views regarding the IFRS 17 discussion at the April 2020 board meeting. And thank you all for listening.